Good morning and welcome back to the second hour of Chatting This. As it's customary, my pleasure on Fridays, in the second hour of our program, I get to welcome a good friend, IQ Al-Rasooli. IQ is the author of Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. You can buy his books by going to Amazon.com. And IQ is the, in my opinion, and I've spent a lot of time studying this, the world's foremost expert on understanding, which is far better than even knowing, Islam. He speaks with courage and compassion and is the best guide in the world today to help those who are ignorant or irrational, those who are deceived, understand the threat of this hellish religion. IQ, welcome back. We have IQ, but we don't have the switchboard performing. IQ.
Yes, I'm here.
Okay, good. I'm sorry. We had a little technical glitch there. It's good to hear your voice. What I'd like today, IQ, is to have you take us through a bit of a travelogue. I'd like to get your comments on some confusion that is brewing in Libya. Then we'll move to your home country, Iraq. Next to Egypt, into the puppet caper that is taking place there. And lastly, to the suicide bombers in Russia as they appear to have come from Chechnya. So let's begin, if we could, in Libya. The New York Times, you may have noticed last weekend, printed an article. Let me just read the opening statement of the article, and then let's chat about it for a moment. It says, months of investigation by the New York Times, centered on extensive interviews with Libyans in Benghazi, who had direct knowledge of the attack there and its context, and it turned up no evidence that Al-Qaeda or other international terrorist group had any role in the assault. The attack was led instead by fighters who had benefited directly from NATO's extensive air power and logistics support during the uprising against Colonel Gaddafi. And contrary to claims by some members of Congress, it was fueled in large part by anger at an American-made video denigrating Islam. That was the opening paragraph, my friend, of about a 10-page story published by the New York Times. So I would like to begin by asking this. Pretty well known that in Benghazi, that the murder of the American ambassador and the three others was perpetrated by an Islamic organization called Ansar Sharia. Could you explain for our listeners what Ansar Sharia means?
Ansar al-Sharia in Arabic means supporters of Sharia. And yeah, there is no such thing as Al-Qaeda. Doesn't exist. Only in the mind of politically correct garbage people like the New York Times. Every single believing Muslim, 1,500 million of them, is a member of Al-Qaeda. Why? Because they read the same scripture, which is what? The Quran. So every person who reads the Quran is a member of Al-Qaeda.
Or said another way, Al-Qaeda is irrelevant. What is relevant is the Quran.
Absolutely right. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What's interesting is that Ansar Sharia tells you everything you need to know about this group. It means supporters of Sharia law. We've talked on this program. A supporter of Sharia law is someone who would support Muhammad's words and deeds as they are found in the Hadith, and they depict Muhammad as the most rotten human being who ever lived.
Of course.
So
we have explained this for the last 2 years.
Yeah. So now it's interesting in this particular case. The issue that the New York Times is trying to raise, what they're trying to do, by the way, is to elevate the status of Hillary Clinton so she can successfully run for president, any disinformation they can provide that remedies the scar on him and Hillary Clinton's resume relative to Benghazi while she was Secretary of State, they will undertake. Now, the big issue here is twofold. One is that Americans have been led to believe through their media and through their politicians and through their military that we are at war with Al-Qaeda when Al-Qaeda is in fact irrelevant. The terrorist who killed our ambassador were fundamentalist Muslims. That's what Ansar Sharia means, correct?
Correct. We've said that many times. Al-Qaeda is only in the imagination of the politicians to mislead, literally mislead and misrepresent the truth.
Right.
Every Muslim is Al-Qaeda. Because every Muslim believes Sharia should be imposed upon humanity.
Right, because the base of Islam today is the Quran and Hadith and Sharia law, which is based upon the Quran and Hadith. And so if you were a Muslim and grounded in your religion, and that's what the base means, Al-Qaeda, if you are basing your worldview on Islam, you are Al-Qaeda. But
you are
a jihadi
Muslim.
Right. That makes Al-Qaeda irrelevant.
Al-Qaeda means jihadi Muslim. You cannot be anything else. Islam, Muhammad split humanity 1,400 years ago into two parts.
Yep.
Either you are a jihadi Muslim or you are an infidel. Full stop. Yep.
Full stop. Now, it's interesting in this particular case that the founder of Ansar Sharia was created by the American bombing and military support of the jihadi Muslims against Muammar Gaddafi. It actually originated when the Qataris supplied the weapons and Americans supplied the bombs, and that's when Ansar Sharia was born. Its founder is a fellow named Ahmad Abu Qatala. Now, I didn't know much about Qat, and I wanted to know what Qat represented before Allah. And the cursory definitions is the leaf of Allah. But the Qata edulis plant, which grows wild in the Middle East, is actually a fairly telling moniker for this man. It's a stimulant. It's kind of halfway between the caffeine and coffee and the stimulant in cocaine. And
that's what the Somalis eat every day. They chew on cat every single day.
Yeah.
It is literally, as you said, like a morphine. It's a stimulant.
Right. Right. And what it does is it lowers inhibitions, so your judgment is incapacitated, and it boosts stamina so no one needs any sleep, and it's used as part of Islamic ceremonies throughout the Middle East, and it's not just in Somalia, but it's throughout Eastern and Northern Africa and throughout much of the Middle East. It is the drug replacement for alcohol and other drugs that are illegal in Islam, and so this man is a druggie for Allah. That's what his name essentially means. All right. So what's interesting in this particular case, did you know that Ahmad Abu Qatala was a pen pal of Ayman al-Zawahiri? You know, Zawahiri is the only survivor of the old al-Qaeda. The original al-Qaeda only has one survivor. It's Ayman al-Zawahiri. Zawahiri and Ahmad Abu Qatala, who's the founder of Ansar Sharia, the group that killed the American ambassador. They're pen pals. The Egyptian government has published some 30 or 40 letters between the two of them. If there ever was, and we've already disclosed the fact that Al-Qaeda is meaningless, there's only really one member of Al-Qaeda these days, that if there ever was an Islamic terrorist group that's aligned with Al-Qaeda, it would be Ansar Sharia, because Ahmad Abu Qatala is best buds with Ayman al-Zawahiri. And so if this particular case is not aligned with Al-Qaeda, then every time that every media outlet in the world has aligned a Islamic terrorist organization with Al-Qaeda, it would be a lie. Because none of them are as close to the one surviving member of Al-Qaeda as this one.
With all due respect, I mean, let's get this straight. What the New York Times did, they interviewed so-called people who were there.
Yes.
The most remarkable part, the Prime Minister of Libya after Gaddafi, the day after the massacre of the Americans, said in public, in English, nothing to do with the video, and it was premeditated by members of Islamic Jihad. That's it.
Right. And by Islamic Jihad, he didn't use the term Ansar Sharia in that discussion. But every investigation, has shown that it was Ansar Sharia. But as you say, it does not matter because every Islamic jihadist group is reading from exactly the same script. They have exactly the same constitution. Their motivations are identical. Islam.
I mean, as you know, they call themselves in 10,000 different ways. Every single group of them calls itself some name. But all of them, these names are irrelevant.
Right.
Not of use. Why? They are doing exactly what Muhammad and his God Allah tells them to do.
Correct.
Which is to terrorize humanity into submission.
Now, as we both know, that the film had nothing to do with this. It was subsequently used by the President of the United States and by others that are pro-Islam as cover. As an excuse, but cover, all that means is that it was used as camouflage. That particular movie, it depicts Muhammad as a womanizer, it depicts him as a pedophile, it depicts him as a rapist, it depicts him as a mass murderer, and the movie depicts Muhammad as a terrorist. Is that denigrating to Islam to predict Muhammad those ways?
You know, it's funny, when people say to me, you are insulting Islam, my return answer is, it is impossible to insult something which is beneath contempt.
It's true.
Since Muhammad and this Quran are beneath contempt, how is it possible to insult it? I want to know.
How can you denigrate someone by telling the truth about them?
You can't.
I mean, if you are saying that Muhammad was a pedophile and he was a pedophile, how does that denigrate him? Now, if he was not a pedophile and you call him a pedophile, that would be denigrating.
It shows you for what it is. No,
right.
That's the fantastic part of it.
Right.
The hadith itself self-destructs. It destroys Muhammad's character completely and utterly.
Right. And we don't know anything about Muhammad apart from the hadith. And the hadith doesn't depict Muhammad ever doing anything that would be considered moral or good. It only depicts him engaged in the slave trade, kidnapping, stealing, lying, rape, pedophilia, incest, and the list goes on and on. Mass murder and terrorism. How do you denigrate a man whose entire life was rotten? It's impossible. We'll return and talk about Iraq when Shabriness continues. Expert IQ Al Rasuli with us, and we're going to shift our attention to Iraq. The headline reads as follows, IQ. Radical Sunni militants aligned with Al-Qaeda fought for control of Fallujah and of Ramadi on Friday, escalating the battle over the two cities that have increasingly become centers for Sunni extremism since the American forces withdrew from the country at the end of 2011. Is radical appropriate before Sunni when we read militants as the modified term?
Neither radical nor militant nor extremist are descriptions of Islam. These are the politically correct versions. Islam has no shades, none whatsoever. Islam is radical, is extreme, is militant, full stop. So painting them with all these names are irrelevant. And these are Sunnis, nothing to do with Al-Qaeda. In fact, the same Sunnis attacked the Qaeda before because they were raping their women. They were subjugating them. They were plundering them. So they went against Al-Qaeda.
Yes, matter of fact,
there is no such thing as Al-Qaeda. We agreed that.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, in there used to be a terrorist organization, one of several hundred Sunni terrorist organizations called Al-Qaeda. There was one at one time. It no longer exists. It has one lone individual who has essentially a negligible following. But when Al-Qaeda was built up and had some presence in the world, largely because the United States funded it, during that time, were Saddam Hussein and Osama bin Laden good buds? Did Al-Qaeda have a presence in Iraq when you were there?
No terrorist was allowed to exist in Iraq. Not a single one.
And all the terrorists are fundamentalist Muslims. So if you were a fundamentalist Muslim jihadist, like Al-Qaeda, you were not allowed in Iraq, correct?
The word allowed is very, very nice. You were exterminated.
Okay. So what happened is that we had a dictator over Iraq, Saddam Hussein, and the United States decided to depose, which is a nice term for kill, the dictator. And what the dictator was able to keep Iran at bay and diminish Iran's influence in the region, and he was also able to preclude any fundamentalist Islamic terrorist from operating within Iraq. We kill him, and what happens?
You had opened Pandora's box, and they did the same thing in Libya. They're doing the same in Syria. They're doing the same thing in Afghanistan. They haven't learned anything in 65 years.
So imagine you're claiming that you're fighting a war against terrorism. You depose a guy who precluded terrorism in his country, in Saddam Hussein, and the result of your invasion of that country is an explosion of terrorism, where there are now between 20 and 100 terrorist attacks in Iraq every single day.
Correct. Yes.
And yet you celebrate your military as if your military did this great thing in Iraq. We made a bad situation infinitely worse, didn't we?
Yeah, but you didn't gain anything. The military did not win.
No.
America left Iraq in shambles. That's not a win.
No.
They're leaving Afghanistan in shambles. That's not a win. They destroyed the unity of Libya. That's not a win. They're destroying the unity of Syria. That's not a win. So where is the win?
We've made bad situations worse. That's stupid.
Exactly.
Now,
exactly.
In Iraq, this article goes on to say that over several days, the Iraqi government has rushed troop reinforcements into the area of the western province of Anbar. What actually they did is it's a Shiite government now, loyal to Tehran, and they went in with a military to remove anyone who was a Sunni in a protest camp, saying to the Sunnis, in Shia Iraq, which is now Iran West, you can no longer protest against Shia Islam. We're going to send the Shiite military that America provided. We're going to put that, push that right against you. We're going to, the tanks, the helicopters, whatever, we're going to annihilate you because you can't protest.
But you can't protest in any Muslim country.
So that's what started this most recent upwelling of what will become a
anger.
Civil war.
Yeah. Anger. It's anger. The Sunnis have had it. True. Under Saddam Hussein, and in fact under the constitution that was created by the West after World War I, the Sunnis, who were a minority, were allowed to take over the power. Now, the power is with the majority Shia. And instead of learning from history by accommodating each other to live together, they are doing exactly to the Sunnis what the Sunnis used to do to them.
Exactly. And in the midst of this, do you think that there's, and we'll answer this question after the break, there's any chance that the surrounding Sunni powers like Saudi Arabia and Qatar are going to let this thing just die and allow the Sunnis of Iraq to be suppressed in this way?
No chance in hell.
Welcome back to Shattering Myths. We're with IQ Al Rasuli. So IQ, it's a disaster in Iraq, is it not?
In fact, you call it, the word disaster not descriptive enough. We had a country which was in a way united, now is dismembered into 3 to 4 parts.
Yes.
Not even a disaster.
All with it, all at war with each other. Yeah, all at war with each other. This article goes on to say that these militants, these radicals, these extremists are dressed in black and they're waving the black flag of Al-Qaeda. Now, I remember reading the Hadith, which just depicts Muhammad inspiring and leading some 75 terrorist raids. And that before every one of these raids, there would be one of three colored flags that were raised. They were either a white flag, a red flag, or a black flag. And so the black flag that is considered to be the flag of Al-Qaeda is really the flag of jihad, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah, Muhammad, right? By the way, the same colors, by the way, white, red, and black, are the same colors the Nazis embraced as well. The Quran speaks very highly of Mecca. Now, moving on here, it says that that waving a black flag, one fighter shouted to the crowd, "We declare Fallujah is an Islamic state, and we call you to be on our side." Did the person waving the black flag call them to Al-Qaeda?
No.
Did he say this state is now run by Al-Qaeda?
No, but that's the beauty of it. He said, in the name of Islam, which means the Quran.
Right.
This is the beauty of it. He didn't speak about Al-Qaeda. He didn't speak about Al-Zawahiri. He didn't speak about Ansar al-Islam. He said, Islam. Islam.
We're declaring this is an Islamic state. Not an Al-Qaeda state. It's stunningly important. Now, what comes next demonstrates that what you and I have been saying for years now is true.
Neither you nor I have been challenged.
Yes, that what he says next demonstrates what we have been screaming ever since the American invasion of Iraq, which was by invading Iraq, we gave Iraq to Iran. This is what he said. After saying, "We declare Fallujah is an Islamic state," he says, "We are here to defend you from the army of Malaki and the Iranian Safavids." Now,
Safavids, yes, because the Safavids are the ones who initiated Shia Islam in Iran.
Correct. In fact, let me just read. This is from, you probably know all of this, but let me just read what the Wikipedia has to say about the Safavid dynasty. It says that it was one of the most significant ruling dynasties of Persia, but they don't really mean Persia. They mean of what was once Persia, and is often considered the beginning of modern Persian history. What they mean is Islam's influence in what was once Persia. They ruled one of the greatest Persian empires after the Muslim conquest of Persia, and established the Twelver school of Shia Islam as the official religion of their empire, marking one of the most important ruling points in Muslim history. The Safavids ruled from 1501 to 1722, and then from 1729 to 1736, and at their height, they controlled all of modern Iran, Azerbaijan, Armenia, most of Iraq, the Georgian Republic, Afghanistan, and the Caucasus regions, as well as parts of Syria, Pakistan, Tajikistan, Turkmenistan, and Turkey. The Safavid Iran was one of the Islamic gunpowder empires, along with its neighbors, the Ottoman and Mongol empires. So that pretty much explains the whole thing. What he's saying is that we, as a Sunni Muslim jihadists, have declared that Fallujah is now an Islamic state, and you are no longer under the authority, the control of the Shiites in Iran.
Yeah, the word Islamic, he meant Islamic Sunni state.
Right, right.
That's very important. He meant Islamic Sunni, not Islamic Shia.
So what he's saying is that the army of Malaki, the army of the government of Iraq, as America left it, is the army of the Safavid dynasty. It's the army of Shia Islam. That's what America established, is an army of Shia Islam, which is controlled entirely in Tehran.
Correct. Yes.
What could we have done that would have been more suicidal? Is there anything America could have done in the world that would have been more suicidal than to invade Iran's enemy and to not only give Iraq to Iran, but to provide a Shia army in Iraq that is controlled by Iran?
Yeah. Well, they're doing the same thing. They continue. America is continuing doing the wrong thing as we speak. They're trying to support the different people who are trying to overthrow Bashar al-Assad, who are worse enemies to America than Bashar al-Assad ever was.
You know that nearly...
They haven't learned anything. And for simple reason, by the way, with all due respect, I've got to say that. Obama is a Muslim. Full stop.
Yeah.
I don't care what anybody says otherwise.
Yeah.
He has supported the Muslim Muslim Brotherhood from the day he moved into the office until today, 6 years later.
Yeah, you know, I personally, I think he's a blend of Christianity, Islam, and socialist secular humanism, and that's a far worse blend than just one of the religions independently. But he, there is absolutely no question that he sides with Islam. And in his worldview, siding with Islam is more important than siding with America or with any other form of freedom. He will always side on behalf of the terrorists, Islam. Now, it's interesting to note that that one third of America's fatalities, military fatalities in Iraq, took place in the Anbar province where all of this is occurring. And so it was the Sunni Muslims of the Anbar province that were the most deadly to America. And it is this very same group now that is trying to fight the Iranian army that we established in Iraq, which means that we were really at cross purposes. We did exactly in Iraq what we did in Libya, which we made, we manufactured the enemy that killed us.
Even negotiable. It's a fact. And tragically, the American people are being misled deliberately by the packaging of Obama and by reducing his literally this despicable geopolitical failures. They are saying, I mean, the New York Times to say that it's still because of the video, when everybody with two grains of salt, logic knows it had nothing to do with the video. The Muslim said it had nothing to do with the video. The Libyan leader said it had nothing to do with the video. They're repackaging them exactly for what you said. They want to bring Hillary Clinton.
Right. Oh, and by the way, and even if it did, by the way, even if it did, IQ, have to do with the video. If telling the truth about Islam made Muslims killers, that would be telling in and of itself.
Yeah, we're not disagreeing on that.
Yeah.
We have always said the religion of Islam, the Hadith, self-destructs. We agree that.
Yeah.
But what I'm saying is, we're for the New York Times, mm-hmm. which is a despicable newspaper, by the way.
And they
you
are.
Know that, I know that. That's why its ratings have gone down enormously.
Right, right.
It's a despicable, it's a gutter type of newspaper. It never tells the truth. It always sides with the enemy of America. It always sides with the anti-Christians.
Right. And by the way, in this particular case, it reveals one of the greatest tragedies in modern America, which is when Islam is exonerated and Al-Qaeda is blamed, and therefore when they say it was not Al-Qaeda, to infer that it was not Islamic terrorism, this notion that you can have an enemy that is called Al-Qaeda when the enemy is really fundamentalist Islam is the very place where everything falls apart for America, where we lose it, where we no longer have any sense of understanding. When the enemy is called Al-Qaeda, as opposed to Islam, which is the differentiation that this article hinges on. That's the very place where ignorance becomes deadly for us and ultimately will destroy us.
Yes, well, we said it many, many times. You cannot fight an enemy unless you know that enemy better than he knows himself. When you do that, the enemy is destroyed. America has not learned anything about Islam.
Has anybody
denying the very fact that Islam hinges on one thing, Quran.
Right. Has anyone ever defeated a disease by treating the symptoms?
No, never.
No. And is Al-Qaeda, which is one of now almost a non-existent organization, it's got one person left in it, is Al-Qaeda simply a symptom of Islam?
Only a symptom.
Right. And so,
one of these manifestations are symptoms. The right. disease is called Quran.
Right.
The virus is called Quran. The HIV virus is the Quran. Right. Destroy the Quran, you destroy Islam.
So, and there's only one way to destroy the Quran. You cannot destroy the Quran with bullets and bombs.
Absolutely not. Never.
So the way that you destroy the Quran, right, is to expose the Quran to people and encourage them to read it. You know, if you read the Quran, you will never negotiate with a Muslim because you'll realize that the Ninth Surah says that a treaty with a Muslim is not binding on the Muslim.
Correct.
So why would you ever negotiate with a Muslim? Right. If you read the Quran, you'll recognize that Muslims have been called to wage jihad against all humankind until the only religion on earth is Islam. So,
all of what we are saying is in the Quran.
Correct.
We're not revealing something in you. Literally, it's all in the Quran. All everybody has to do is read it.
You sent me a video this week. I'm on your mailing list, and it was a group of Muslims that were chanting prayers. And in their prayers, what were they calling for?
The death and destruction of Christians and Jews. By the way, this was in Mecca. Not
right.
Just a group of Islam. This was in Mecca with a million people bowing to the shrine, which was a pagan shrine of Arabia before Muhammad.
The Kaaba. So they're circumambulating the Kaaba, and they have a million Muslims, and what their prayer is, death to all Christians and Jews.
Twice. In section 3 seconds, 5 seconds, and then 46 seconds and 48 seconds.
Yeah. And so, I mean, this is the middle of Saudi Arabia now, which is supposed to be an American ally, and you've got a million Muslims in Saudi Arabia around the Quran, which is the holiest site in Islam, chanting death to Christians and death to Jews. And yet, the American media and American politicians want to exonerate this religion. They want to call this religion great. How can you defeat Islamic terrorism when we lie about it? Welcome back to the last segment of Shattering Mystery for today. We're here with IQ Al-Rasuli. I want to turn to Cairo, Egypt. The military government of Cairo is now cracking down on a suspected Islamic puppet. Me thinks we have a real problem here now in Egypt, because Egypt has labeled the Muslim Brotherhood a terrorist organization and says anyone who is affiliated with the Muslim Brotherhood in any way is going to be punished. But IQ, last time I checked, the Muslim Brotherhood and the other Salafist party, didn't they win 65% of the votes in Egypt?
Yes, they did. But they were promising not to interfere in politics. They lied. Then they said when they take over, they will not impose Sharia. They lied. And the reason they were overthrown is because they lied. Unlike the Americans, who keep Obama and his administration for 6 years lying to them left, right, and center, and they keep them still alive. Amazing.
But how can a military junta go about banning a group of people that represents 65% of the popular vote? Can you imagine in Europe, for example, saying that the people that represent 65% of our country, we are now going to label as an enemy? How's that going to work?
Well, it won't work in Europe, but it works in the Middle East. It works in Islamic countries. It's been working for 1,400 years.
So what you're saying is that the military junta, which has been even more ruthless than was Morsi's Muslim Brotherhood in terms of arresting people, suppressing them, and even killing people, that it will prevail there in Egypt, because the only way to control Muslims is to be savage.
Well, you know, and I know that's a fact. Under Jamal Abdel Nasser, who overthrew mm-hmm. the monarchy of Egypt,
right,
the Muslim Brotherhood was banned.
Right.
Under Gaddafi, they were banned.
Right.
Under Saddam Hussein, they were banned. Under
right.
Mubarak, they were banned. Why
right.
were they banned? Because they are terrorists.
Right. And so the only way to control, therefore, an Islamic country and to minimize terrorism is to deploy a draconian measures and have a dictator. It's either a dictator or Islamic terrorism. Those are your choices.
No other choices. None in between.
So why would America say that we're going to invest in these countries because we want to offer them democracy?
You can't offer Islam democracy. There are 57 Muslim-majority states. For the last 65 years, not one of them is a true democracy. Why? They are Muslims. Under Islam, democracy is the nemesis of Sharia. So how can you have Sharia and democracy? It's impossible.
So in Islam, the only way for there to be some semblance of civility is for a military dictatorship to suppress the expression of the religion.
Absolutely. Look at Pakistan.
Right.
India and Pakistan evolved in the same year.
Mm-hmm.
India was always a democracy. Pakistan was rarely a democracy because Pakistan is Islamic. Afghanistan is the same. Iraq was a democracy for a period of time only because when the British came over in the 1920s, they imposed a dastur, that means a constitution. And they put in a king, so we had some kind of semblance of democracy. But when the king was murdered in the 1958 uprising,
mm-hmm.
a whole chain of events continued. Because the minute they killed the king, those who killed the king were themselves murdered, and those who murdered them were themselves murdered. In the end, Saddam Hussein took over, and he too was murdered.
Yeah. And now if we look at it from the Quran's point of view, doesn't the Quran say that there is no freedom for a Muslim because Allah has decided his religion for you? And doesn't the Hadith tell Muslims that they must submit and obey the general, the king, and whoever is put over them?
Of course. But that's exactly what it is. That's what Islam is all about, submission. What does Islam mean? Islam, root word is aslama. Aslama means to submit. Submit to whom? To the will of Allah. And what does Allah say in the Quran? Whoever rules over you, you must follow. You must follow. It doesn't matter how despicable he is.
Right. Because the more despicable, the more Islamic.
Absolutely.
Right. And the more deadly, the more deadly, the more Islamic. The more, the more corrupt, the more Islamic. The more rape, the more Islamic. The more kidnapping, the more Islamic. The more terrorism. The more Islamic. These are all the attributes of Allah, the Quran, and Muhammad. So this idea
nothing
of...
nothing has changed. Nothing has changed in 1400 years.
And nothing will. Islam will continue being Islam, and they will continue to lash out against the world using their favorite tactic, which is terrorism. We'll be back on Monday.